Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and at Health and Wellness Australia and New Zealand, our naturopaths specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. And today we're discussing a query that we get a lot, especially this time of year, from our PAT clients with sensitive, dry, or eczema-prone skin. As this, when the weather starts to cool down, our skin can start to get drier as well. So joining me for this episode is our Brisbane naturopath and PAT practitioner, Belinda, who is also known as the eczema naturopath in her private practice. And we'll be discussing all the nitty-gritty details that you need to consider before buying yet another eczema cream. So Belinda, why do so many eczema sufferers feel like they're constantly chasing that next best cream?
Well, this is where the journey starts, I suppose. I mean, you've got something on your skin and you're trying to find something you can put on it that relieves it, right? So that's, for most people, that's where the journey is going to start. But I know my clients, and I know after months, years, whatever it might be, they just have a drawer full of half-used creams, natural, not natural, steroid, antibiotics, all of that stuff that, you know, may have worked for a while, don't work anymore. It's just not the full solution. If you have eczema and you've been doing this for a while, you already know that. And there's all the promises, right? Every single brand has their big promise. This is the solution, and you're going to try that one. But that's just not the full picture, and the benefit is temporary often. So creams certainly have a role to play for sure, but it's just not the whole picture.
Yeah. So what kind of role does skincare play when you are looking at this bigger picture?
So when you're dealing with eczema, one of the things that is happening is the skin is not behaving as it should. And the skin barrier is not behaving as it should do, right? So if you want to kind of think of it almost like a brick wall, like the skin cells are the bricks, and then in between that, the mortar should be strong, protecting the skin from external irritants and keeping moisture in the skin and all the things that it should do. But you can kind of think of eczema-prone skin a bit more like that mortar being quite damaged and crumbly and not doing that job well. So, you know, the right creams can definitely help to reduce that moisture loss, to keep some more moisture in the skin, protect from irritants, which the skin should be doing on its own, but if it's damaged and not functioning well, it won't be doing that properly. So you can use a cream to do that. And act as a temporary kind of barrier. And often things like, you know, I will have a lot of kids that will sort of, because they, when they eat, they're getting food all over their faces and so on. I'll recommend put a barrier cream on their face before they eat, because it's actually a protection to some level. Mm-hmm. And it can soothe and just make the skin more comfortable day to day.
Yeah. And so what can't creams do that people are often hoping or expecting that they will do?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is that it's missing what's actually happening, right? It's not getting to the cause of the problem. And it's missing the why. And as a naturopath, that's what we're doing. We're going, okay, fine. The eczema is the symptom. What is happening? Why is this happening in the first place? And what do we need to do to address that? And a cream just isn't really doing that well.
Yeah. And you said something really important in the blog that you wrote up. So it was, you're trying to solve an internal issue with an external tool. So if we flip things around and start to look at what's actually driving the issues with the skin barrier, where do you start?
Okay, so one of the things that we need to think about, especially when seeing as we're talking about what we're using topically as well, is what are we actually dealing with? Because eczema or dermatitis isn't just eczema or dermatitis. There's different types, there's different drivers for everybody. So one of the things that we need to think about is what type are we looking at? Where on the body is it? What does it look like? What makes it better? What makes it worse? All of that sort of thing. So if you, I mean, there's so many examples, but if you take seborrheic dermatitis, for example, which is commonly found around the hairline, in the sides of the nose, in the scalp. So the driver for that is often an overgrowth of yeast called Malassezia, which I hope I'm saying that right. I always think that that's the way you say it in my head. I hope that's right. But that yeast feeds off the sebum in the skin, so that oils in the skin. So if you're then using a cream or a balm that's oily, you will essentially be feeding that even more. And making the problem worse. So not only will it not help, it can make it actually worse and drive that problem even more.
Mm. So this is a yeast that naturally lives on our skin, right, in these small amounts, but it can get overgrown. So is it part of like our skin's natural microbiome?
Yeah, so it's not that it doesn't exist else in people that don't suffer from eczema, mm-hmm. but it can become problematic when it overgrows. And it's part of that natural balance where you want a good balance of, you know, all the good bacteria that's on the skin as well as the yeast and bacteria that are more problematic sometimes. And when we're talking about that as well, another thing that's often a problem is Staph aureus bacteria, which is very common to be at higher levels in people that suffer from eczema. Some research says it's about 90% of people with eczema will have an overgrowth of Staph, as opposed to, you know, a much lower percentage of people that don't suffer from eczema. But again, you can have Staph on the skin and it causes you no problems if there's a good balance. But one of the problems there, and this comes back again to how the skin barrier itself behaves, what a normal skin barrier should be producing. So normally the skin should be producing fatty acids that mean that you have quite an acidic skin, which then prevents the overgrowth of Staph. Whereas if you have a problem with that and it's not functioning properly, then Staph is able to overgrow. And you will often find as well that Staph in the areas that are common for eczema, elbows, knees, ankles type thing, you will find that Staph will proliferate and levels will become higher before a flare in those areas. So it actually drives then more of that inflammation and that flare as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do certain creams play into this, getting this balance right and preventing overgrowth of these yeasts and such?
Yeah. So then you're looking at what are we putting on the skin? So that pH, that acidity that I talked about, what pH is the cream that you're putting on? Because if that cream is more neutral or alkaline, you are going to create more of that environment and Staph is able to grow more. So you want to make sure that the cream that you're putting on your skin is more a pH that isn't going to lead to that happening.
And you also mentioned the diluted vinegar spray. I hear you recommend that to clients a lot.
Yeah, I use that a lot. I tell clients to use that a lot because it's just cheap, easy. Mm. You can do it at home. So if you make up a spray bottle of just vinegar, normal vinegar, you can just use white vinegar. And filtered water, ideally, and you spray on the skin before you you could have a shower, spray the vinegar spray on your skin and then put your creams on after that. You can create that more acidic environment to prevent the growth of Staph. And you can see it depends. You want to start with maybe a 1-10 kind of ratio of vinegar to water, because you don't want it to be too strong and stingy, especially if the skin is thin as well. So that can be a really simple thing to add to your routine.
Yeah, that's an awesome like at home tip to give clients as well. Yeah, it's perfect, cheap, easy. We like it. Yeah. So I know a lot of our listeners prefer using these natural products if they can, but natural doesn't always mean best for eczema, does it?
No. So you know, I'm a naturopath, so I'm all about the natural, but there's problems there too. Because it's not, you know, this is not a one-size-fits-all type approach. And this is where over the years I've kind of come to where I used to more recommend different creams and herbs and things to use to help, which in one group of people would be amazing. And then in the next group of people would say, well, no, actually it seemed to flare it. And over time, I've just come to realize that is so, so common with all different types of creams, natural or not. If you're using something that seems to help and not cause a flare, then stick with it. And then all the everything else can be done, you know, to address the cause underneath that. So there's some of the things, though, that we're dealing with when we're looking at natural creams are, is it natural? So there's a lot of greenwashing that goes on, and, you know, the label looks natural and it says organic on it and, you know, whatever else. But that can mean, you know, a natural ingredient, or one of the ingredients are organic, or, you know, so it really doesn't give you the full picture often. Yes. So you just got to be careful of that. So just make sure that you actually have an ingredients list and you can see what's in it. But even if it is fairly natural, there can still be preservatives that will be irritating for some people that suffer from eczema. Alcohols can be quite drying for some people. Fragrances, even if it says natural fragrance, that can definitely still be a fragrance. I mean, you know as well, it's a huge, huge trigger for eczema, petroleum kind of derived ingredients and so on. So, yeah, that's one of the things that we want to look out for. But even if it is 100% natural cream, still there can be some problems, unfortunately. So when we're looking at things like essential oils, that's another problem for some people that suffer from eczema. High terpene content in some plant extracts, salicylates in creams, or salicylate rich like botanical ingredients, stronger herbal kind of ingredients, they can be real triggers for eczema sufferers as well.
Yeah, 100%. And so it's not just those creams where they're pretending to be natural, but the genuinely natural ones can also cause issues. So it's really frustrating, as a lot of us want to use these natural products with the intention of doing something good for us, but it can still backfire. So when it comes to a simple eczema-friendly cream, what does that actually look like for you?
Yeah, so if we're just going to go basics, again, it's always personalized, but the basics, fragrance-free is your best bet. So not even natural fragrances, but just fragrance-free. Anything with essential oils, generally speaking, you probably want to avoid. Something that you can see the ingredients, it's transparent, you know exactly what's there, and just simple, nourishing ingredients that you recognize is generally your best bet.
Yeah. And what is your recommendation when you're working with these families where they maybe have tried one thing and they get a little bit of relief and then they switch and get something else? Like, what's your advice when it comes to a cream? Should we just stick with one?
Yeah, that's where I'm at now, because I do so much other work behind the scenes, and that really is what's also important, and we'll talk a bit more about that. But if you've found one that helps keep the skin moisturized, it doesn't flare it, it keeps a bit more comfortable and so on, sticking to that is generally what I would recommend while we're doing everything else to actually address the cause.
Yeah, because the reality is it's doubtful that one cream, even the claims that they make that it's this miracle cream and this and that before and afters, whatever it is on Instagram, it's probably not going to clear it completely, because the driving factor is really internal.
Yeah. And the clients that we see, if, you know, on occasion that may happen. And if you're at the beginning of the journey and it's just mild and you know, maybe that's enough, but that's not who we're working with either. The people we're working with, generally speaking, have already been down this path and they've already tried a bunch of different creams and whole range of things. And it hasn't worked yet. It's very unlikely that the next one is going to be the one.
Yeah, that's very true. So let's talk about that bigger picture here. How do you approach eczema holistically in your practice?
Yeah, so the other things we want to look at are food sensitivities, environmental sensitivities. So what are causing some of these flares? That we probably won't go into too much today. I mean, but that's what we deal with with PAT as well, because that can become very confusing, very stressful trying to work out that combination, because it can be a lot of things. Gut inflammation, symptoms, microbiota imbalance, that's a big driver for those sensitivities as well. You will see that those coincide too. You will sometimes see digestive symptoms, but not always. It can still be a driver. Yeah. Immune dysregulation, so on both ends actually, so that hypersensitivity to everything, can be food, can be the environment, can be seem like every single thing seems to cause a problem. Yeah. And on the other end though, that more chronically depressed immune system, where people tend to get sick a lot more and not yeah. recover well from illness, and when that's happening, they also flares can tend to go alongside that as well. I will see both of those kind of extremes. Yeah. And then other things that you might not necessarily think big drivers, but chronic ongoing stress is a big trigger, but also barrier to healing.
Yeah.
You know, if you, and of course, if you have eczema, chronic eczema, it's stressful in a lot of different ways. So it's important that we manage that as well as possible,
yeah,
so that we can get a result too. But yeah, that's one of the things that is really important. People often yeah. don't see as being a big trigger.
100%. And that's something we talked a lot about on the last episode you did with me, where we talked about working with children with eczema in particular, because it can be not only really stressful as an adult to have to deal with these things, but seeing your child go through this, you can just get in a cycle of trying to figure out what's causing the triggers, trying to minimize them, and then you're still getting flares. It's a really tricky cycle to get stuck into.
Yeah.
So for any first-time listeners, if this is your first time listening to us, I'll give you a general rundown of what PAT involves. So basically, we're using a form of muscle testing or kinesiology to help assess your reactions to a whole range of different foods and food components. So that includes your salicylates, glutamates, histamine as well as airborne substances and chemicals, which can be part of that contact dermatitis as well. And we use an acupressure-based technique to help retrain the body's response to these triggers. So we're calming down the nervous system, telling it that it's not something it has to have this big reaction to. So how do you find that PAT is beneficial in particular when working with eczema clients, Belinda?
Oh, I couldn't actually imagine not being able to use it now, honestly, because there's so many, you know, when you're looking at eczema, there's so many things involved. You know, yeah. we've just gone over a few of them, but there's so many yeah. things involved. For me to have to add another layer to that and say, now listen, don't have salicylates, don't have amines, don't come in contact with dust, pollen might be a problem. What do people do? Yeah, if it was possible, which is basically not, but what would people do? I mean, that's even more stressful. That adds another layer of stress. It's yeah. actually not even manageable. I mean, no. then when you're talking about kids as well, you add breastfeeding. So the mother's having to do it. The baby's having to do it. Like, there's so many layers to that. And actually, I yeah. see a lot of people that come to me that have already either done that themselves or seen someone else that's told them to do that. And now yes. they're here because they couldn't yeah. do it. Couldn't it's impossible.
It. Yeah, no, that's very true.
So it just takes that pressure off. So we yeah. can provide some information, because that not knowing is also very stressful. So providing that information, and we can go, okay, so these are some of the things that are causing the problem. So, and not only that though, then being able to relieve some of that.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. if you've gone to have your whatever other allergy testing, and mm-hmm. everything has its place, yes, but, mm-hmm. you know, skin prick testing or something, mm-hmm. okay, so this is causing a problem, there you go. Just don't go near. Okay, well, sometimes that's not possible. So it's answers and a solution.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah. So any listeners who do want to learn more about positive association technique, you can visit our website, naturalallergytreatment.com.au, to have a look at where the locations of clinics are and our practitioners and more information about the technique itself. So I will include that in the show notes too. And as we start to wrap things up for this episode, Belinda, how should people be thinking about creams differently after hearing everything that we are talking about?
Yeah, I just think the main message is it's a part of treatment. It can be used in part to just provide some relief temporarily while we address the other issues. That's how you get a really good result.
Yeah. And for someone feeling stuck in that cycle of they're trying everything, what do you want them to take away from this conversation?
My kind of takeaway is always sort of the same, that there is another answer, because what I see when people come in are like, I don't know what to do now. I've done all this. I don't know where to go next. Nothing's working. We're going around in circles. This is very stressful. But these things haven't been looked at, and there are other answers. There is more. So there's more relief possible than we're kind of led to believe.
Yeah, exactly. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. So we hope this episode has given you a clearer and more grounded way to think about eczema, and maybe even a sense of relief that you don't need to keep chasing that next best cream that only leads to that disappointment. So if you found this conversation helpful, please make sure to share it with someone who might need to hear it too. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for future episodes coming soon. And if you'd like to explore a naturopathic approach with Belinda for you or your child's skin, you can visit her website, theeczmanaturopath.com.au, for all more information about her consultations. She's based in Brisbane but also works online. And thank you so much, Belinda, for sharing your insights. It's been really helpful to get kind of a new take on this kind of thing. And yeah, look forward to the next time we have you on here.
Yeah, thanks, Jess. Me too.